The opinions expressed on this program are not those of Greater Media or its management, staff, advertisers, or ownership.
Welcome to Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, life coach, author, and journalist. Join us for Jennifer's conversation series discussing issues, events, and advice to help you navigate life's challenges.
Welcome to Life Advice, everybody. This is your host, Jennifer Lewis Hall. So glad you're with me this morning. What a treat we have for you. You know, it's been such a great summer. It's been a great season to get out and enjoy talking health, talking fitness, talking finance. I mean, we're able to talk about all those things that affect and impact our lives on this show. What is really exciting for me is that we were able to take the show over the ocean, talk about, you know, and beyond through the woods, because having an opportunity to, if you caught a couple of shows, we were able to actually do those shows on the island of Anguilla. And as I introduced that to some folks who had never heard of Anguilla and others who were very familiar with the Caribbean, it was exciting because that's where many of my family members are from on my maternal side. And it was fascinating to be able to go back with an additional view, an open view, another set of eyes that you're not going, you know, when you're little or to visit grandma or grandpa, but going back to really talk about the issues there, look at the landscape, talk about tourism and travel, talk reciprocally with people there about politics and how they view lifestyles in the U.S. and so forth. So fascinating stuff, you know, we were able to actually bring to you on the radio this summer. And really, it's been a wonderful time. So as we're transitioning actually through the year and through the seasons, it's so great to talk about something. You know, the holidays will soon be upon us as we transition through the year and go through those seasons. I thought, you know, one more opportunity to really bring another expert from abroad right to you in your living rooms, in your cars, and at your workstations. Pretty cool stuff. Because if you had a profession that you could think about pursuing, you know, what would that be? If it was something, doing something other than what you're doing. I always said, you know, mine would be, I'd love to be, you know, a race car driver. I mean, wow, I would have been in my mind, the first Danica Patrick. I would have been behind the wheel and going around the curves and enjoying the raceway. But I think that so many times when we think about living in a place where there is island culture and in the Caribbean, and you think about jobs and choices there for the workplace, imagine what it's like to be a sommelier, you know, and to basically a wine steward, trained, knowledgeable, a wine professional. Many times you'll meet a sommelier working in a fine restaurant, specializing in all aspects of wine service, wine and food pairing, which we're going to get a chance to talk about on the next show. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Is it red or is it white that you pair with meat or fish, or does it matter? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some cool ideas as the seasons change and the holidays evolve, and, you know, how to give gifts, pick gifts that would be great for food choices and pairing, how to shop for affordable and fun beverages, including wine. So we're going to handle that. But the guest that I have with me today is definitely somebody to answer a lot of these questions, because he has been able to take his training as a sommelier and earn that title through his experience. And, you know, so many times we say that, you know, experience is really the best teacher. And you think about that and you kind of imagine, what would it be like to work in a beautiful establishment, a fine hotel or restaurant, as this gentleman does, and we'll go into that as well, and be able to speak to people from around the world, and having come through really sort of, you know, day-to-day training of learning that skill and expertise. There's so much to know about enjoying a beautiful glass of wine. So with that introduction, Let me delay no more. I want to introduce you to Albert Lake, who has a broad breadth of knowledge about what we would say wine or vino, whatever you call it, that fine glass of wine. Albert, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I should say good day, huh?
Yes, absolutely. It is just wonderful to have you on the show. And I must say that, you know, we were able to actually meet you on the island of Anguilla, which was captivating. And you are the sommelier for an absolutely beautiful, beautiful historic hotel. That is the Malihana Hotel. It really is breathtaking. Tell us a little bit about your journey to this beautiful place. And we're going to get into your background, because you reminded me when I met you and we talked a little bit about your story, which was captivating. And that's why I really love sharing this. You were saying, you know, Jennifer, yes, I have a story to tell, but I learned what I learned through experience. First of all, tell us what you do, and then we're going to talk about where you work.
Well, my job as a sommelier, my responsibility is to ensure that we have a great selection of wines on our wine list. Wines, you know, from just like every wine producing country around the world, and ones that been said that, of course, complement our various menus. And one of the important roles for me is to be able to train my team, you know, my colleagues, as much as possible about wine and wine pairing and communicating wine with our guests, etc. And of course, I always think the most beautiful part of what I do is actually interacting with the guests and being able to reach to that selection that could actually, you know, complement whatever they are having at that moment. It's that sort of a...
Well, I mean, and, you know yes, I was going to say, it's really interesting because you are, you're from Anguilla.
Yes, I am.
And did you imagine that when you were young that this is, and you're still young, did you imagine that when you were growing up, I should say, that you imagined that this is what you would be doing?
Well, not specifically what I'm actually doing now as a sommelier, but growing up on the island, we were very much family. And the boys, the girls, we all got involved in what we would call the household chores, you know. And I learned to cook at a very, very early age. And we learned to appreciate, you know, how should I put it? We learned to appreciate good food. There was never wine. But also we learned to appreciate how to... the service of that, you know, how to prepare, how to serve, and et cetera. And I think that sort of piqued my interest as a hobby. And, you know, I never thought that, okay, one day I would be going out to do this, because even though we were given that sort of a training, that was sort of the etiquette of home. That was not, you know, you're not going to be going out to do that as a job.
Wow.
Because, you see, the service industry was considered as a menial task when I was a younger man, 17, 18 years. If I decided, okay, when I finish school, I would like to go to be a waiter. And it's, no, if you don't make it to school, you'll be a farmer or fisherman.
And this was, you know, your parents. You're saying this is how you grew up.
Your parents, how you grew up. Or if you do make it to school and you turn out to be that student, you're off to college. You're going to be a doctor, lawyer, a preacher, a minister, or what. But serving in a restaurant or in a bar was considered menial. So when it so happened that the only opportunities at that time, well, really, you go agriculture, you go construction, and then came to be small hotels and inns popping up locally on the island. So I say, you know what? This Salaba training I had at home, I'm going to do that as a part-time job. And I fell in love with it.
Wow. Really. What is it that you loved about it?
What I love about it, you were able to, you were sort of creative in a sort of a, you could come, you became creative at the moment. I guess wanted a cocktail. You could be inventive on a cocktail if they were not sure what they want. If you were preparing a dish, you know, you what was available to you, you could be inventive, creative, innovative. And I think that was a certain passion that I really liked that. That came to me as a great opportunity. I found myself, wow, I'm doing something that I really love.
That's amazing. And just to hear, folks, we are on the line talking with a top sommelier from the beautiful island of Anguilla in the Leeward Islands, close to and across from, I should say, the island is from St. Martin, if you're familiar with that area, not far by flight from Puerto Rico. So captivating stuff. Able to meet Albert Lake when I visited there and talk about how he actually oversees the Malihana Resort's remarkable wine cellar, which at that time, Albert, when I was doing some research, featured at the time, I read 25,000 bottles. Is that even still accurate? And what would be the range of this incredible vault you have there?
Yes, at that time, the wine cellar, we boast a 25,000-plus capacity wine cellar. We actually have over 1,500 different types of wines, and from just about every major wine producing country in the world. And we eventually, in 1995, we got the Award of Excellence from the Wine Spectator for our program. And then in 1999, we were honored with a coveted award, grand award from the Wine Spectator as well. So it was just a fantastic wine list with, you know, showing some just about every wine producing area. And that was really complemented by the Rostang family from Paris and Antin, France, who they held a Guy de Michelin 2-star. So it was that style of a cuisine that really gave that style of a balance to our wine program.
Wow, so an award-winning wine cellar and team that you have helped to cultivate there. I wanted to talk a little bit about, before we go into the types of wines that you have there, which I just feel is just fascinating to see actually what this, you know, looks like and the atmosphere that people are in to paint a picture. When we talk about really getting an opportunity to, you know, to kind of do something different or enjoy a beautiful night out, and that can be anywhere you are in the world. I always say that can be your own living room, that can be an atmosphere you create at home. And you know, we're talking about here a profession that so many people will say, wow, it's fascinating. What do they really do? Talking again, folks, with a sommelier who's been called the sommelier to know, actually, and award-winning with his team. You work, Albert, at the Malihana Hotel and Spa, which is, again, on the island of Anguilla, and we were able to bring some very captivating stories from the island, visiting as I reflected back on my own lineage and family history, which has been wonderful to be able to do. And having the chance to actually get a chance to meet you. And that's why I thought this is so fascinating what you do, because you were born and raised in Anguilla on a very small island, folks. It's really flat. And tell me, Albert, you'll tell me if I'm incorrect, but about 16 miles long by 3 miles wide, 33 of the most beautiful beaches. I've only seen a handful, but one is more beautiful than the next. And so,
yes,
go ahead, right. Sir.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a pretty small island, 35 square miles, and we do boast some of the finest beaches in the Caribbean. And I think that coming to Anguilla, it's, you know, that R&R is sort of the sea, the sun, and the sand, the beautiful beaches, great people, etc. But we are very well known for our fabulous beaches, friendly people, etc.
And that's what I was going to say, though. The funny part is, you know, someone may not initially equate wine and the Caribbean or wine and Anguilla because, and we even talked about this and joked a little bit about it. You said the climate or the soil doesn't really grow grapes. It wouldn't be a place for a vineyard.
No, yeah. I have tried.
I was ready to back you. I was hoping this would work.
And I would say probably I'll have to get some cuttings from Australia somewhere where it's hot at a certain time of the year, but then it cools off. See, our climate, we are too many hot months for an entire year and not enough cool months. So, for instance, November, December, January, February are considered as our cooler months. But the months that is at the time of the year that's actually needed for grape growing is very much too hot and dry for us. So I don't think that we will be suitable. We are suitable for grape growing. So the next best thing is to import the finished product.
I understand that and make sure that then people have an opportunity to enjoy it. I wanted to talk a little bit about the landscape that you work in. And the Malihana has a great amount of history on the islands of Anguilla. It did change ownership and is now an auberge resort. So folks can go and Google certainly on the internet to just see some of the pictures that really give you a view into the beauty of this particular area. And I believe it's something like 20 acres. It's on the beachfront. But you have this stunningly beautiful white sand and really a private beach villas. It is a very unique and beautiful place. I mean, really just juxtaposed, built into this rock. And then to serve that wine outdoors and be able to enjoy that is really, I mean, it's not only a feast for the palate, but also for the eyes. What do people tell you who come there perhaps for the first time and see that view and sit and enjoy a glass of wine?
Well, most definitely. It's like Albert. It's stunning. And you work in paradise. I mean, my God, I would take your place. and I'd be your assistant. I mean, these are the words that just go back and forth. And, no, guests truly, truly enjoyed it. It's just a breathtaking view. And it just, and also, even though we provide a very top-notch service, it's so sort of a elegantly laid back.
Yeah.
But paying attention to detail, if I can put it that way. And that's, having said that, the backdrop is just this beautiful ocean. I don't like for the sunsets. The sunsets are just
that different. That does take your breath away. It really does.
Very.
It really does. The sunset takes your breath away.
And in itself gives me the go to do a good job. I'll try to.
Well, then you definitely will be zipping around because it is the energy and the fuel. If the beauty is that, and it is, I don't say that, I'm just saying it to say it. It is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Well, one of the things that I always give thanks for is that for the last 35 years, I actually do what I'm doing, looking out at the ocean.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Beautiful sandy beach, you know, beautiful ocean, and the great ocean, fantastic, panoramic, and then that all ends in a beautiful sunset most times. And I think that this is sort of a your therapy. This is refreshing, and that's the way I feel. I believe that gives me my go. to be honest. And that's also one of the reasons why I found myself in that particular job for such a long time.
Now, how many years have you been doing this, and how many years at the Malihana?
Well, Malihana overall is 34, 35 years. I worked with the Malihana since the inception, which was in 1984. Prior to that, we had a smaller property for 2 years, so we realized the Malihana. And then it closed in May of 2011 for about 2.5 years, whereby it was purchased and refurbished, and now it's managed by the Burbage Group, who is here based in the Napa Valley. Their flagship property, or I should say the first property, is, if you know, the Auberge du Soleil, which is in Napa Valley, which is just a stunning place.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, with your job, because if someone hears about jobs and professions and tourism and being able to work in beautiful restaurants and so forth, you know, you're very unique because you said, listen, you know, my training has come from literally being out, you know, learning it, not only as a part of the classroom. Tell folks a little bit about what does it require to become a sommelier? How did you get your experience and your training?
Well, I must say that, first of all, when I started working there, there was a sommelier from France, and he sort of exposed me to the art of tasting wines and the service part, etc., etc. And having at a secondary level the subjects like geography, history, chemistry, physics, history, etc., agriculture, of course, you know, I realized that I do have an understanding about the theoretical part of wines. Now, there are two areas that is very important: to taste, and most important, how is it made? So, I thought about this brilliant idea where I can approach my the owner of the hotel. I'm going over to France with the sommelier so I can get sort of a hands-on view, study of grape growing, et cetera, all about the wine production business. And that was immediately entertained and agreed. And there I took off. And every year after, for about 10, 15 years, I would definitely make the wine country of France my holiday during the month of September, just like I am here speaking with you from the wine country in California. And in doing that, we at that time purchased wines from about 40 or 50 wineries, predominantly from France. That's why my whole program started there. And I've written to those wineries and letting them know who I am and what I was searching for, and my interest in learning more about wine or their product from their wine, from their perspective, et cetera, et cetera. And everyone was truly, truly fascinated with someone who took that step. And I said, well, this is an opportunity for me. And I followed that up, and, you know, I just went through that and worked in every area of the industry, whether it's in the vineyards, if it's in the laboratory, if it's actually in the crush, the bottling line, etc. And to be able to sit with a cellar master and to taste. Tasting is extremely important. As we usually say, it's like learning about wine. It's like music. If you don't practice, you're not going to be able to play.
That's interesting. Yeah, you have to exercise this. You have to literally get in there and practice and play and, in this case, taste and really learn what it's about.
And the great thing, what I'm very appreciative for, that the owner, Leon Royden of the Mariana Hotel, I just think that man was a visionary. He had a passion for wine. He was sort of a wine collector, and he brought that to the business.
So
and that made it.
I was going to say, and he brought that passion, which made other people excited about being able to offer that experience.
Exactly.
What would someone say? I was going to say this, Albert, also not to interrupt there, but what as you think about a wine cellar with 25,000 bottles of wine, what would be something that someone said, if I just want I don't think it's the word is rare, but I guess the most vintage or, whatever the terminology would be in that cellar, what would be sort of just when you actually open up that cork and you uncork, I guess, the wine, what would probably be, and they're all wonderful with, I guess, different flavors and fruits or woodier. I can't even imagine, because we're going to talk next week about kind of tasting and how you do this and select. But just for some giggles here, what's probably the most expensive bottle of wine you've ever opened, or the oldest bottle?
The oldest bottle of wine that I've opened, that was a 1945 Meursault Champs. That's a white burgundy.
A white burgundy?
White burgundy. Actually, I did not open that bottle at my cellar at Mariahana. I opened that at a cellar in Belgium, where I was working for a couple of days, moving a wine cellar from a town called Vosloo to another town called Mull. And I was treated with, Albert, you can go down to the cellar and pick any wine you want. And that was the one that sort of fascinated me. But going back to the Mariahana, I would have opened 61 Lafitte, 59 Ikem, 82 Ozone.
Wow.
And these are 78 Givre Chambertin or Grand Chiseau. And
I can't even pronounce these. So a bottle of wine like that from 19, you said 50 or something?
Take a 61.
61. What would be a price tag on something like that these days?
At that time, that bottle would have been sold for probably about $1,500, $2,000. Today, actually, in 2010, 2011, that same wine was anywhere between $7,000.
I just had to cough for a minute. Hello. Wow.
Yeah. And they could be much higher.
Yeah. So fascinating. So fascinating. Well, you know what? I'm so excited because we're talking, folks, on the line with someone who's been called the sommelier to know, Albert Lake from a beautiful, beautiful Caribbean island. He's going to be joining us again this coming week. So next week to talk about pairing wine choices, affordable wines, and how to add that spice to your palate. And, really get excited about the holidays coming and how we can bring some of that beautiful elegance or fruity fun to our table. Albert Lake, it is a pleasure to have you on the line. We'll talk with you again next week to talk about some of the tips that we can use for the holidays and pairing. Albert Lake, thank you for joining us. And thanks to all of you for joining us on this edition of Life Advice.
Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall has been a production of Magic 98.3 Radio. Be sure to tune in next week for Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, right here on Magic 98.3.